Monica Abbott here, back in Kansas City to host my first annual scholarship golf tournament presented by Shields, Monday, May 6th at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit. All proceeds go toward awarding two scholarships to well-deserving female athletes in the Kansas City area. Sign up at monicaabbott.com.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Final hour of the show, final show of the week. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchetti, Marco Marquez, now joined by Tim Grunhard. Every damn night on the telephone.
What movie?
Exactly. You're too young. You should know it.
Whose is it? Who said it?
Oh, not good. Yeah. No. No.
Don't make me have to Google this now. I want to get...
Tim Grunhard, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Super Bowl City.
Yeah! Wow. Super Bowl!
Hey, Super Bowl City, what's going on? Oh, man. Wow. Hey. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Chiefs organization, from the ownership of the Hunt family through obviously Mark Donovan and of course Andy Reid and Brett Veach and all the assistant coaches and the players and the Chiefs Kingdom and all the old players, everybody. Congratulations. Wow, it's so cool. 3 out of 4 years in the Super Bowl. I just can't fathom that. It's just so amazing to me. And we joined an elite crew of teams that have been able to do that, starting with the Miami Dolphins back in the early 70s and then the Vikings in the mid-70s. And then the Cowboys kind of did it a couple different times. And I think the Broncos did it in the mid-80s and the Bills. So, and then, of course, the Patriots. But, man, it's so unbelievable. I'm so happy for the players and the coaches. And more importantly, so happy for the Kansas City Chiefs fans. Wow. Just an awesome, awesome experience to take in once again.
I would like to mention real quick, I know it's not football, but the Royals have made it official. Just sent out a press release. They have signed Zach Greinke to a 1-year deal. So Greinke back with the Royals, and the Royals continue to sign veteran pitchers, showing zero trust in their young arms. And so, Greinke back with the Royals. Does that make you happy, Timmy? Another year, Zach Greinke?
You know what? I'm a huge Royals fan. I just can't wrap my mind about the Royals right now.
Right.
So,
Here
in about a month, I'll be all in. But I think that right now I'm worried and thinking about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the defense. Can they slow down Jalen Hurts? The offense, can they pass protect the best defensive line in the NFL? And we could talk about all those things. But, you know, it's crazy. I love it because I'm not – like you guys know, I take a lot of things personal, Stephen. I think I'm a lot like you in that.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that, you know, one of my problems as a player, and I'll never forget, and Art Schell actually pointed this out to me, and I'll share it with you guys. And this is kind of, and I see a little bit of this in you too, Stephen. It's, you know, anytime somebody says something negative or something nasty or something mean or something that I don't like. I always feel like they're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always, I'll never forget because, you know, when Lou Holtz used to do it at Notre Dame, he would call up, you know, after practice, and he had a bad practice, and he was upset and railing on the team a little bit, and I'd always think he's talking to me. And, you know, it's probably a nice motivating factor for me to get me where I needed to go and motivated me to get there. But I'll never forget because Marty would do the same thing. And I was walking off the field one time, and I was dejected and upset. And I was just, you know, I'm kind of bumming out. And Art Shell was kind of walking behind me and said, hey, Gronny. I said, yes, sir, coach, what's up? Why do you always think they're talking to you? And I said, I don't know. He goes, he ain't talking to you. All right? So just let it go. Let it wash off your back. Don't worry about it. And, you know, that's how I feel when I watch, you know, some of these programs that are on in the mornings. You know, you watch ESPN and all these different programs. And they, especially last week, they were so tough on the Chiefs and everything else. And I always feel like it's a personal affront to me. So I needed to kind of take a deep breath and say, you know what? Screw all those people. Screw social media. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to sit back and take a deep breath and look around. And I suggest that all the Chiefs fans in the Chiefs kingdom do that. You know, I know we're being bombarded right now with, you know, news stories about the Chiefs. And I know we're being bombarded with national stories. Heck, you know, there was some stuff going out to Big Biscuit this morning on a news station. So, you know, there's all kinds of coverage going to be happening with the Chiefs. But I think we all need to just kind of step back and take a deep breath and look around and see, man, oh, man, we are so blessed and so lucky. And, you know, it's such an unbelievable experience that we're having here as Chiefs fans and as a Chiefs organization going to the Super Bowl again. Man, this is just awesome. And really looking forward to watching them go out there and play against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, let's all take a deep breath and just think how lucky and how blessed we are to have Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Hunt family as ownership here in Kansas City.
All right, let's talk about some of the injuries right now because we got some updates yesterday from Andy Reid. Let's play this first clip. The one bad news that we got yesterday at the press conferences was about Mecole Hardman. Here is Andy Reid when he was asked if Hardman could possibly play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think it'll be tough for him. I mean, I doubt that he'll make the Super Bowl. But listen, he was not going to be denied the other day, and it's a tribute to the kid. He pushed himself like no other, and he's a tough nut now, man. He's all smiles with you, but he when it comes down to playing, he is a tough, tough kid.
And then after that, Andy was asked about the possibility of Juju Smith-Schuster returning to practice next week in Arizona.
Yeah, so I think he will be able to do that. He's in a good place. The main thing is that we let that calm down. And right now it's doing great. So we're very optimistic right now. And his want-to is all in there, so. But we'll just see where it goes.
So as far as the players that were injured in that game, Hardman is likely to be out for the Super Bowl. Juju Smith-Schuster making progress, and Andy thinks he'll practice next week. Kadarius Toney is close to practicing after tweaking his ankle. Legarius Sneed was out there doing some things during warm-ups, which suggests he is in the next stage, the next step in through the concussion protocol. Good news for him, and several people reported that Willie Gay had some positive results from testing, and it looks like he'll be able to play. But what about Mecole Hardman, if this is it for him as a Chief? He tried to come back, and he complimented him on his toughness, and he went out there and tried to go, made a couple of nice plays, but then leaves again with that pelvic injury. It looks to me like he's not going to be available in Arizona.
Yeah, anytime you're working with that core area and you have injuries in that area, it's just so hard to come back from. And you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for fighting his way back. And, you know, he wanted to play in that game. And I certainly believe he wants to play in this one. And I think he'll try everything he possibly can to to, you know, do the rehab and everything else to give it a shot. But probably doesn't look good. You know, Andy's usually pretty truthful and pretty forthright when he talks about these injury things, which I think is refreshing. You know, I listen, you know, these guys are battling hard to get in and get out there and play. And I think that the coach should give them, you know, credit for what they're trying to do. You know, a lot of times some coaches won't say anything about guys that are battling back. And then, you know, you hear whispers, well, that guy, you know, he saw this, this, and that. And, you know, that takes that away. And I think that's important, not only for that player who's working really hard to get back. You know, obviously in the Super Bowl, you know, you want to play. But also for the guys around him that know that he's doing everything he possibly can to be with his brothers out there. And they appreciate that. And I think as a fan base, we should appreciate that also. The guys are doing everything they possibly can to go out there and compete and play football for this great city and this great organization. And some won't make it, some will. But, you know, listen, I think if you can get Tony back, you can get Smith-Schuster back, and you can get Snead back and Gay back, you know, I think we're in pretty good position. So it's February football, man. I mean, there's all kinds of injuries. Nobody's 100%. Nobody's even close to 100% in February. You know, some can't play because just the injuries. And like Marty used to say all the time, and, you know, I'll quote Marty here and say that, you know, there's a difference between pain and injury. And I think that's really important, everybody. There's a difference between pain and injury. You can play with pain. You can't play when you're injured. And Mecole Hardman's injured. And, you know, I bet he's going to try as much as he possibly can to get back. But, you know, when you're injured, you're injured. And let's just hope that he can get back. And if he can't, you know, he can be a positive role model on the sideline and help coach up and help motivate and bring some juice to the field.
And to your point, Mike Garofalo from NFL Network reported that Hardman does want to try to play and is gathering second opinions on his core injury, but it's still doubtful that he will play on Sunday. But, you know, as far as just the receivers, you get Tony back, you get Juju back, but then Justin Watson, he was ill, so he didn't play in the championship game. He's already back in practice. You add Justin Watson, that could help, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he had some nice plays early in the season. I think he lost a little bit of confidence with some of the drops he had in the middle of the season. I've talked to people that have played against him in college and have seen him play, and that is really just a kind of a freak deal for him to drop balls like the way he did. You know, he may play a huge role. You know, being a possession receiver against the Eagles, you know, hey, listen, let's get – you know, you got your big play players, but you also need guys that can roam around the middle of the field and make some catches at 6, 7, 8 yards and get a first down and move the chains. And I think he could be that guy. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's injuries on both sides. I know the Eagles have a long list of injuries, and we don't know how serious those injuries are. But it's February football. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's sore. Nobody's 100%. And, you know, everybody's going to try and play. This is a game you do not want to miss. You know, I tried 11 years to get to this game and never got there. So, I mean, it would take something really, really catastrophic to keep me off the field if I was going to a Super Bowl. So I'm sure that those guys feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. That's I feel for the guys like Hardman that, you know, you work to get to this point and you have to miss it. But one of the things we've talked about is how many of these young guys, especially the rookies, but even guys like Nick Bolton, that he's only in his second year, they're already in the Super Bowl. And you wonder how much perspective can they even have on how hard it really is to get here when you go your first year, right?
You know, I wish I didn't realize how hard it was.
Yeah,
I certainly was given a tutorial on the difficulty of getting to Super Bowls. I wish that in my first or second or third year, I went to the Super Bowl. And, hey, you know, this is a quarterback-driven league. I just rattled off a bunch of teams that we're in the Super Bowl 3 out of 4 years. And you start with the Miami Dolphins, and, you know, you have Greasy, who was an unbelievable Hall of Fame quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And then you have Fran Tarkington with the Vikings. And you have, you know, Staubach with the Cowboys, and then Aikman with the Cowboys, and Brady and with the Patriots, and Elway with the Broncos. So, you know, when you have those elite quarterbacks like that, and you have them at the prime of their career, you're going to have opportunities to go to Super Bowls. And Patrick Mahomes, you know, after Stephen St. John jumped off the stage
right
over at the complex in excitement, I think that if we all knew what Stephen knew at that time when he jumped off the stage and almost broke his neck, that most of us would jump from anywhere to get Patrick Mahomes to be a Kansas City Chief. And when you have the best quarterback in the league who is not only – a hell of a player, but a hell of a leader. And listen, if you ever doubted what this guy brings to this team, and out of every pore of his body seeps out confidence and excellence, look at the second half of the Bengal game in the AFC Championship. He was banged up and sore. And by the way, everybody out there, he's going to be limping around in the Super Bowl too, all right? It's not going to heal that quick. It may be a little bit better, but all it takes is one little twist and one little wrong step. And, you know, you tweak it and you tear some scar tissue, or you get inflamed a little bit, or get some inflammation in there. And, you know, it's going to happen. But for him to do what he did with the guys that he had out there, with Kemp and with you know, Sky Moore, and guys that are young guys that didn't play a huge role and still have the ability to lead his team back and win a football game, that's an elite quarterback. That is the kind of guy that you want leading your team as you go into the Super Bowl.
And you know, we had Mike DeCourcy on the show from the Sporting News, and he wrote a column about Mahomes, you know, playing through that injury and performing at such a high level. And, you know, he wasn't out there just, you know, dragging ass. And not, he had 326 yards. I mean, think about when you were playing, or any time, like a quarterback throws for over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns in the AFC Championship game. That's the stuff legends are made of. And he basically did that on one leg. And Mike DeCourcy did compare it to Willis Reed and the Michael Jordan flu game. Like, those are the things we always – what are the first couple of things that you think of when you think about a player in a big moment playing hurt or injured or sick? Willis Reed's brought up. Michael Jordan's brought up.
And I got it written down. Kirk Gibson.
Absolutely. Kirk Gibson with a pinch hit home run off Dennis Eckersley in game one of the World Series. But
Michael Jordan against Portland, I believe it was, with a 103 fever.
Well, it was Utah, and that was a punch in my mouth. Will we talk about this in 10 or 15 years from now like that, or do they have to? Does he have to finish it off and win the championship for it to be the stuff of legends?
Well, I think we'll talk about it. Here in Kansas City in the Chiefs Kingdom, we'll talk about it. But in order for him to be, and listen, he already is. I mean, he's already a sports icon, and he already is one of those guys that you can say in the same breath as, you know, the Tom Brady's and the Joe Montana's. He really is, and I'm not looking at it with Chiefs color glasses here. He is an elite quarterback, and if he retired today, he'd go into the NFL Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. But I do think that he's got to go ahead, if he wants to separate himself from you know, even the elites, then he goes out and injured the way he is and wins the Super Bowl. That's a Kirk Gibson type of moment, a Michael Jordan type of moment, even a Curt Schilling type of moment when he tore his tendon in his foot and was bleeding. And, you know, didn't know whether he could even plant on that foot to throw a fastball when he was in Boston. So, I mean, those are the kind of performances, the gutted out performances that separate you from all the rest. You know, and just do a small comparison. We're playing at the University of Pittsburgh, my junior year in college. And on the goal line, it was a goal line play. Guy fell on my ankle and high ankle sprain. It was horrible. It hurt. It was terrible. This is out of college. And the next week we're playing Miami. All right, and that was going to be the game of games, and that was the Catholic versus convict game. Mm-hmm. And there was no way that I wasn't going to play in that game. I was very limited. I played, I would say, out of the 10 series, I probably played 6 or 7 of them, and there were times when I just could not do it. But I was not going to miss that game. And I look back, and I'm thinking, thank God I didn't, because, I mean, that is a game that is probably one of the more storied games in the history of college football, and probably, you know, probably the most well-known game that I ever played in college football. So I didn't want to miss that. So you do whatever it takes to get out there and play. Sometimes, you know, like Marty said, you know, if you're injured, you're injured. And sometimes you even play through injuries. But you always play through pain. That's just part of it. You got to play through pain. It's a prerequisite to playing this game. Everybody's always going to have pain. Some of us play through injury. It's not the best thing to do. And Patrick Mahomes played through injury. He didn't play through pain. He played through injury. And for him to play through injury the way he did was spectacular. And he is now on the Mount Rushmore of performances in sport because of the things that he's doing this year with this team.
And look, hey, Kelsey, too, when he described what he went through the previous 48 hours and how he said he woke up Sunday morning, his back was still locked up, and he hadn't been able to bend over, he hadn't been able to run, and he just, for 2 days, he heard it, the second to last play of practice on Friday, and he said for the next 2 days, nonstop treatment, but he didn't do anything. Because he was scared to re-aggravate it, so nonstop treatment until before the game and going out there in warm-ups. Because he said he woke up on Sunday and it was still locked up on him and painful. I think a lot of people were just dismissive of the idea that he could actually miss that game because he's such a competitor and he's going to try to play in any condition. But just hearing him talk about it and seeing him in the locker room after the game. That was something else, too, that not only was he able to play 7 catches, 70-plus yards, and a touchdown, when you got the 2 best players, 2 Hall of Famers out there playing like that, playing injured, playing hurt, whatever you want to call it, that's what does that do for the rest of the team, Timmy, when you watch those guys not only out there and playing through it, but still playing at such a high level?
Yeah, Steven, I think that's a great question, and I will tell you that it raises everybody's game. And there's a lot of guys out there, and I will tell you, and I talk a lot about it in my book, you know, sometimes you're in the huddle, right, and you're tired and you're sore and you're beat up and you just can't do it. I mean, sometimes you get to that point where you're like, man, physically, mentally, I don't know if I can even play another play. And you look over and, you know, I look over and see Dave Zott, and I look over and see Will Shields and John Alt, and look up and see, you know, whatever quarterback or, you know, Marcus Allen. And I say, you know what, I can't do this for me, but I definitely could do it for them. And, you know, that's a weird thing about us as human beings. There's a lot of things you can't really do for yourself. But I promise you, you hear about mothers and that, you know, when their children are in duress and there's this superhuman power that they, you know, are able to move heavy objects or whatever. And, you know, your mind controls your body. And, you know, if you're doing it for other people and you're doing it for the reason that, you know, you don't want to let somebody down or you want to save somebody from something, then you could do it. And I think that's where Travis was at. Travis was never going to let those guys down, and he willed it. Your mind controls your body, and, you know, and I'm not saying he wasn't extremely hurt because he was, but I promise you that he just willed himself through that football game, and that's the kind of guy you want to play next to.
We had Tim Grunhard on the phone. Timmy, will you do another segment with us?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Nate said he will, much like Mahomes and Kelsey, he will himself through this next segment against all odds. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023. Let's check back in with Tim Grenhard. Timmy, we were listening to Frank Clark yesterday talk about the unique challenges of going up against this offense where Jalen Hurts can beat you with his legs. He had over 700 yards and like 13 rushing touchdowns. The read option, the big play wide receivers with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, the excellent offensive line anchored by Jason Kelce. But Jalen Hurts still is dealing with a bad shoulder. And so I'm just curious what you think of this matchup and how the Chiefs might be equipped to at least slow down this Philadelphia offense.
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think that the deeper we look at this game, we realize that, you know, listen, it's the number one offense against the number one defense. And the trend has been the number one defense usually wins these games, so it's hopefully we break the trend. But, you know, if you look deeper at it, the Eagles' offensive line, which I think is a top three offensive line. I know some people think they're the number one line. And they certainly are really, really good at run blocking. And, you know, they have their challenges in pass protection. Listen, they've given up 46 sacks this year compared to the Chiefs with 26. So they've given up 20 more sacks this year, and now I get it. You know, a quarterback run that doesn't get back to the line of scrimmage is considered a sack. So I'm sure there's a couple of those in there. And you know, Jalen Hurts, a guy that is going to try to extend plays and try to make plays down the field and will hold on to the ball and take some sacks. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they're a bad offense. But I think they're, like I said, a top three offensive line. But I think the defensive line for the Chiefs can take advantage of that. I thought they played with a lot of confidence last week against Joe Burrow. You know, people are talking about how, well, Cincinnati's offensive line woes are cured. You know, those three guys, you know, there's going to be no issues. Look what they did to Buffalo. Well, we talked about that. And I think it reared its ugly head for the Cincinnati Bengals that the weather slowed down the defensive line of Buffalo. That snow and traction and everything else that they had to deal with, you know, they just weren't the same up front in Buffalo. So the Chiefs were able to take advantage of the Cincinnati offensive line. And I thought that, you know, Clark and obviously Chris Jones and Karloftis and Dunlop and Dana played great. So it's going to be a great challenge for them. Listen, they're both great teams. They're both the number one seeds. They're both the best teams. The best team in the NFC is playing the best team in the AFC, and that's the way you want it to be. Now, it always doesn't work out that way, but that's the way you want it to be. And so when you look at it, there's not a lot of flaws on the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's not a lot of flaws on the Eagles, and it's going to come down to a couple of things. Number one, like every game comes down to, is turnovers. Whoever wins the turnover battle, and this has been my kind of stand on the table preaching to everybody in Kansas City, if the Chiefs win the turnover battle in the playoffs, they will go to the Super Bowl, and they did. They're going to have to win the turnover battle against the Eagles. They're going to have to get a couple and not turn the ball over. You know, Patrick Mahomes, the ball slips out of his hand, kind of a freak deal, but you've seen how devastating those kind of things can be. So you can't have turnovers in these huge games. The other thing is penalties, and I get it. I don't even want to talk about, you know, the officiating in the NFL has been poor. We know that, okay? It's just been poor. And they're going to have to address that. But you just got to play through it. You know, you got to play sometimes against the officiating, too, and the officials, too. And I know our best buddy is refereeing the game or the head white hat, but you can't have a lot of penalties. You can't give up chunk plays. And I thought the young defensive backs for the Chiefs did a great job of limiting some of those things against Cincinnati, who I think has the best receiver core in the league. So they played really well, too. So you can't have turnovers. You got to limit your penalties. And then you got to win the special teams battle, especially in these games. You know, you got to make your field goals if you're called upon to do it. You got to cover kicks. You can't let big returns. You can't turn the ball over, obviously, on the special team side. So if the Chiefs can go in like they did against Cincinnati and win the turnover battle, limit the penalties, and win the special team, they got to kind of wash out on both offense and defense. You can't get destroyed on either side, and they should be able to win this football game.
Timmy, we don't normally take phone calls, but somebody called in and wants to say something to you. Will you allow it? All right, let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on with Tim Grunhard.
Grunie, this is an old teammate of yours from Notre Dame, Brian Flannery. I'm listening on my phone as I'm driving in Ohio. And as I'm listening, I hear, obviously, Coach Holtz's seven areas, and you're doing a great job with that. I was going to say you had to add an eighth area, which is officiating. Because being from Ohio, you guys had a blown call last year against the Browns, helmet-to-helmet contact on a touchdown we had. And then in the Cincinnati-Bengal game, Joe Barrett, that's all the talk in Ohio is about the officiating, not just penalties, but these crazy no-call penalties or giving an extra play. So I just want to tell you, comment on that, and also let you know that in this Super Bowl, you got Travis Kelce, and you have his brother. They're both Cleveland guys. And I'm driving down to East Liverpool right now. They may have video of both of the boys playing in high school together. So that may be coming out. But I also have to comment, your comments on the Hurricane Catholic versus Convicts that game, obviously that was an awesome win for us. But I think the key to that win was the coaches kept you and I on the sidelines for most of the game, because of our great athletic ability, even though we had injuries and all that good stuff. But I just want to say I'm listening, doing a great job, and go Chiefs.
All right, Brian. Now, listen, you still owe me those pierogies, so everything you said is just falling flat.
Wow.
Yes, I do owe you on that for sure. And we'll look for paybacks next year.
Good talking to you, Brian. Thanks, buddy. Brian Flannery.
Thanks, Timmy.
Defense lineman for University of Notre Dame, a big Browns fan, good guy, really good guy. And you know what? Listen, I've heard, you know, my daughter lives in Cincinnati, and so I don't want to comment on her allegiance right now, because it's a point of contention in our family.
Really?
I will tell you that the twins, Colin and Kaylee, it was not a pretty thing texting back and forth during that game. In fact, Sarah had to step in and say, guys, enough is enough. But the whining and crying that has been happening on the shores of the Ohio River is unbelievable. It just is unbelievable. And the great thing about all this, the great thing about the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl, is that teams like the L.A. Chargers, right? The teams like the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos, they got to watch 24/7 Chiefs coverage for the next 2 weeks. That's got to hurt. That has got to hurt. And I will promise you that our friends that are thinking about jumping off the bridges into the Ohio River, they aren't watching too much ESPN now, too, because they're all pouting a little bit also. But I will say that, the AFC West over the last 4 or 5 years, you guys, we talk about this all the time. They have tried to address the Chiefs' dominance through the draft, through free agency. The Denver Broncos are so desperate to get themselves where they need to be, that they gave up every pick they have now for the next 10 years with quarterbacks that they signed and now head coaches they signed. So, I'm a big Sean Payton fan. I think he's a great, great coach. But the cover's going to be bare there, man. I don't know how they're going to even be a part of the draft system with all the picks they've given up over the last couple of years trying to secure a quarterback and now a head coach. So I take solace in the idea that all these teams from the Cincinnati Bengals to the Buffalo Bills to the AFC West have to sit and watch the coverage of the Kansas City Chiefs. Or they could turn it off and go watch reruns of Gilligan's Island, which is fine with me, too.
Tim Grunhard is our guest. One more quick break, and we'll wrap things up with Tim Grunhard on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's go back to Tim Grunhard now.
Hey, Steven?
Yes?
I was kind of looking around Twitter, and in this Clown World site, Steven St. John liked this tweet that had a bunch of Big Macs that are smashed into a tinfoil can or whatever, and then topped off with maple syrup and then with cheese and then chicken sandwiches and then cheese and you know, red sauce and all that.
I don't know what the hell's – I retweeted that and I put WTF. Like, it's some – have you seen this, Nate?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if I think that looks good or not. I mean, I'll retweet it.
The maple syrup cancels me out. Nope. They're like, why are you putting maple syrup on French fries and Big Macs?
No.
It's a layer, for people that don't know, it's a layer of Big Macs, a layer of French fries, and then a bunch of maple syrup, and it looks like then some spaghetti sauce and tomato sauce, and then shredded cheese. And then on top of that, then they take a bunch of McChicken sandwiches and put it on top of the shredded cheese. Nate, are you in on this? No, look at this.
No.
Why the maple syrup, though?
I don't get that. The other thing is, like, I don't really need to mess with
bacon.
Maybe the person's an elf, like Buddy.
I don't really need to mess with the Big Mac and fries. I think that's good right there.
And by the way, this is a super expensive casserole or whatever.
Yeah.
They're putting together.
And they're putting bologna on top? No.
Yeah, a bunch of cheese on top. And then, you know, you think they're done when they're smashing this gal, and then she's putting bacon on it.
Why the? Bacon on it. Oh, my God.
I don't understand the syrup at all. They're putting McGriddles on top now?
Chicken sandwiches.
And then she puts, she puts, no, I don't, I think those are chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
She's putting on top of that.
I don't.
I take it that you will not be serving this at your Super Bowl.
No, I will not. No, I do not like maple syrup whatsoever.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am.
I mean, I like Big Macs. I like chicken sandwiches. I like French fries. I like them all, like, individually. And not put in with maple syrup and 45 pounds of shredded cheese. I'll pass on that. But
yeah, that's, Timmy? That looks like a walking. Oh, don't forget about the American cheese on top as a top layer. Wow.
Is your daughter at least going to root for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, she is.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
She is. I let her know. I said, listen, Kaylee.
Yeah.
I said, if it wasn't for the Kansas City Chiefs, who knows where you'd be right now.
Right. That's exactly right.
Paid for your grade school, paid for your high school, paid for your college. And she dropped down. Well, I got a 75% scholarship to swimming. I said, well, who paid for your swim lesson?
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
That's exactly. You're talking.
Yes, sir.
All right, Timmy.
It was a point of contention, but she will be rooting for the Chiefs, and I guess we'll let her.
Well, be ready, because next week you'll have the final word on this show and give your official prediction and final breakdown on the Super Bowl matchup. So be ready. Friday you'll tell us what you think. But one more week, and we'll be right back to watching the Chiefs in the big game. Timmy, I know you can't wait.
you know, we're not here to start no trouble.
Right.
We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Jimmy, have fun down in Florida. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Hey, yo, everybody. Have a great weekend. Let's meet back here Monday at 6 a.m. and get ready for game week leading up to Super Bowl 57 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.